I got into this whole climate change discussion in 2007, and what started it off was having climate change arguments with my father-in-law. So I'm sure most of you probably have family members that would have fairly extreme views on climate change. So most of you can probably relate with that. Now, just imagine you know you've got to get together with your in-laws, and there's a strong likelihood of a climate change argument coming up. What I wanted to do was leave nothing to chance. So what I started doing, having both a background in science and physics and also being a bit of a database geek, was I started building a database of climate myths, just collecting as many of them as I could find, and then documenting what the peer-reviewed science said about each climate myth, and listing, finding data and listing all the papers that I could find. Now, the process was a bit like building a jigsaw puzzle. And as I got further into it, I started to get an understanding of how climate science works and also start to see the patterns in climate denial. And what I learned was that climate science, or the reason why there's a scientific consensus, is because it's based on many lines of evidence. So the reason why 97% of climate scientists agree that humans are causing global warming is because many lines of evidence point to that conclusion. So to deny the scientific consensus, you have to deny the evidence. And as I looked through my collection of climate myths, over time I started to see how all of these myths had one thing in common. They all denied the evidence. One way they did it was by cherry-picking, by just focusing on small pieces of the puzzle while ignoring the broader picture. Another way they did it was by raising up fake experts, such as publishing petitions with a list of thousands of names with very few actual climate scientists on the list. And this harkens back to the 1970s when the tobacco industry had a strategy called the White Coat Project, where they would bring up scientists wearing white coats telling us that we could smoke without any adverse effect. And now there's fake experts telling us that we can pollute without any adverse effect. Now, another way that climate myths deny the science is through conspiracy theories. And the most popular example of that would be ClimateGate, which is a convenient way of avoiding the evidence altogether by smearing climate scientists. So at some point, I realised that this database was quite useful for me, so maybe others would find it useful as well. So I put it online I started the website Skeptical Science. And once I started publishing this information, I started to realise just what I was up against, or what anyone who was trying to communicate climate science was up against. There's a disinformation campaign, which is probably the best funded disinformation campaign in history, funded primarily by companies, or the polluting companies, that stand to lose profits if we try to cut back on pollution. There is, we also have mainstream media, which have left the public with the impression that there's a 50-50 debate among the scientists. I was talking to my dad on the phone the other week, and I said to him, 97% of scientists, climate scientists, who are actively publishing research on climate science, agree that humans are causing global warming. And my dad said, really? Like, he was shocked. He said, I thought it was more of a 50-50 thing. So, and I think a big contributor to that misconception is the mainstream media. Whenever they have a climate discussion, they'll have a climate scientist, if at all, alongside a skeptic. And what the public is left with is the impression of a debate, a 50-50 debate. So I've learnt that there's no single magic bullet in getting the climate message across. Every audience is unique. We all have our different sets of values, and everyone gets their information from different sources. So to communicate the many lines of evidence for global warming, we need to use many lines of communication. So that's what I've been trying to do with my website, Skeptical Science. In February last year, in 2010, we released an iPhone app where we have answers to all the different climate myths that you would encounter, and you could just bring that up on your mobile phone, which is a something everyone should have for a dinner party, I think. So, I've worked with a Sydney programmer, Nigel Leck, who's created a Twitter bot. And what this does is look for tweets on Twitter that repeat climate myths and automatically posts a response to it. So when he first approached me with this idea that he was developing, firstly, my brain exploded at just the concept of it. And then at the same time, I was talking to a guy who sent me an email saying he appreciated all the information on skeptical science, trying to make all the climate science accessible, but he thought it was still too complicated. And he said, well, couldn't you just have a single-line answer to every single argument? And I said to him, well, knock yourself out, have a go. And I thought that would be the end of it. And then a few weeks later, he came back with an email with like 80-odd single lines. At that time, there were 80 different climate myths listed on my site. And that, as I read through them, I thought, wow, these are great. I wish I'd thought of saying it like that. And so as I was talking to this guy working on the Twitter bot, I sent him this list saying, could this work for you? Could you use this in your Twitter bot program as a tweet response? And he said, yeah, that's good, but could you get them all down to 100 characters? So then I had to spend a day just trying to hone every little character without losing the meaning. So that was a bit of a painful experience as well. So at the same time that I was learning the joys of using Twitter and trying to communicate climate science in under 140 characters, Hayden approached me with the idea of writing a book about climate change denial. Now, through Skeptical Science, I documented the how of climate denial, but Hayden wanted to go deeper and explain why. So I found myself working at two extremes, working on Twitter with 140 character answers and working on an 80,000 word book that took a year and a half to put together. But I think that all these different approaches are important. A close friend of mine was a climate skeptic, and when he read the information, all the evidence on my website, he was able to change his mind and be convinced by the evidence. Late December last year, I published a 16-page PDF on the website, which just explained in as plain English as I could write just the evidence for human-caused global warming and explaining how climate myths mislead people. And one guy who was a skeptic read it and emailed saying, okay, I'm convinced. How can I help? And my own dad, we've had a few skeptic arguments over the years, and having my website didn't really change his mind. All the social media, well, he doesn't have anything to do with that. But he had a change of heart after I published the book about climate change denial. So I guess it takes all different types of media to reach people. So I think we need to use social media to convince people of the evidence. We need to reach out to mainstream media to explain to the public that there's a scientific consensus. And I think we need a lot of people reading our book, Climate Change Denial. If Muhammad won't come to the mountain of evidence, then the mountain of evidence needs to come to Muhammad.